We continue Be'ezrat Hashem in our limud of Masechet Yevamot. We are on Daf Samech Vav Amud Aleph. We begin Perek Shevi'i, the Perek of Almana Lekohen Gadol. This limud is Leilu Nishmat Baruch Ben Shelomo, Shelomo Ben Reuven, Erez Ben Miriam, Shaul Ben Latife, Yom Tov Ben Chana, Sulika Bat Chana, Esther Bat Ladisia, Eta Rivka Bat Mordechai, Rivka Bat Devora, Eva Shalomit Bat Ilana Esther, Chaya Esther Chava Bat Sara Aleim Shalom. Also, Lizchut Refuah Shelema for Gabriela Masuda Bat Sara. The first Mishnah of the Perek begins as follows: Almana le Kohen Gadol. If Almana married a Kohen Gadol sinfully, as we know, Almana is not supposed to marry a Kohen Gadol, but let's say they got married, or a Grusha v'Chalutza le Kohen Ediot, a Grusha, a divorcee, or a one who received Chalitza, marries a regular Kohen, which is also not allowed. In this marriage, hichnisa lo avde belog ve'avde tzon barzel. If let's say the woman brought in to the marriage two different types of properties, specifically slaves here, avde melog and avde tzon barzel. Let's just explain quickly the difference between nichse melog and nichse tzon barzel. Properties of melog, that means property that she brings into the marriage that really stays hers. It's just that the husband is allowed to use the fruit, the produce. He's allowed to enjoy the benefits of these properties, but all along it stays under the responsibility of the woman. And that's called avde melog. Nichset son barzel literally means a guaranteed investment, which means property that the woman brings into the marriage, which becomes the property, totally the property of the husband. It's just that when and if a divorce occurs, he has to pay back the amount that was given as tzon barzel, which means that's why it's called tzon barzel. It's ironclad investment, meaning she doesn't lose. The value of what she brought in is never lost. All losses are occur to him, to the husband, whereas she doesn't lose. The day that she's supposed to receive it back, she receives it in the same value as she brought it. So that's called nichse or avde tzon barzel. So now, let's say in the marriage, she brought these two types of avadim. So what is the difference? Avde melog, the avadim that are part of the nichse melog, which means that still belong to the woman. It's only that the husband has a right to have benefits from them. Lo yochlu bituma. These avadim cannot eat teruma. Why? Because since they belong still to the woman, and she became psula from eating teruma. She became a chalala. Because by being with someone who is asur, Almana is not allowed to be with a Kohen Gadol. A Grusha is not allowed to be with Kohen Ediot. So she becomes pasul from eating Tuma. And the Avadim that are under her jurisdiction are not allowed to eat Tuma. Whereas Avde Tzon Barzel Yochelu, the Avadim that she brought in as Tzon Barzel, which become the property of the husband, they are allowed to eat Truma because they are under his jurisdiction and he is still allowed to eat Truma. He does not become a Halal, even though it was a Bi'ah Psula, but he does not become a Halal. She is the only one who becomes Psula, but not the Kohen Gadol or the Kohen who married a Grusha. So therefore, that's the difference between Avde Melog or Avde Tzon Barzel. And the Mishnah explains, Ve'elu hen Avde Melog, what are Avadim that are regarded as Avde Melog? Imetu Metula, it's the type of property, such as Avadim, that if they died, they die for her, which means she takes on the financial loss. V'im hotiru, hotiru la. Or if let's say they upgraded in value, then it's an upgrade that the profit goes to the woman because she still is the owner of these avadim. And therefore, afal pishu chayav bim zonotan, even though the husband is required to provide food for these avadim, they're not allowed to eat turma because they still belong to the woman and the woman became pasul from turma. So therefore, these avadim, avde melo, cannot eat. Ve'elu hen avde tzon barzel, and which are considered the avadim of tzon barzel, imetu metulo. It's the type of avadim that if they died, he is the one who suffers the financial loss. Vim hotiru, if they upgraded in value, hotiru lo, he is the one who benefits, who profits from the upgrade, because they are absolutely his property. Ho'il vehu chayav be'acharayutan, since they are totally under his responsibility, his financial responsibility. Hare elu yochlu bitruma, therefore they could eat truma, just like he is allowed to eat truma, they eat teruma as well. Now, all this was talking about marriage not allowed, such as almana lekohen gadol. But let's say bat Israel sheniset lekohen, a Jewish lady who marries a Kohen, v'ichnisa lo avadim, and she brought into the marriage avadim. Ben avde melog, ben avde tzon barzel, regardless if they are from the melog properties or from the tzon barzel properties, hare elu yochlu bitruma. These avadim could eat truma, because in this marriage, the Bat Israel herself now is allowed to eat truma by power of the husband, and therefore the avadim, even the avdei melog that are under her jurisdiction, can eat the truma. Ubat kohen sheniset leYisrael, and the other way around also, a daughter of a kohen who goes ahead and marries a Yisrael, veichnisa lo avadim, and she also brought avadim into the marriage, ben avdei melog, ben avdei tzon barzel, regardless of which type, hare elu lo yochlu bitruma, they cannot eat teruma. Right? Even the avde melog that are still under her jurisdiction, but being that she doesn't eat truma any longer, while she's married to a Yisrael, a bat kohen does not eat truma, so the avadim also cannot eat truma, whether they are melog or tzon barzel. The Gemara begins with a question on the first part of the Mishnah. We saw in the case of almana lekohen gadol or grusha v'chalutza lekohen ediot that the avde melog that she brings in, which are still under her, right? They do not eat truma, the Mishnah says, because she can't eat truma, because she became pasul. So the Gemara asks, the avde melog lo yochlu bitruma, is that true, that the avde melog do not eat truma? Am I? Why? Leheve, let them be ke kinyano shekana kinyan. Let the avde melog be considered like the kinyan of the kohen that acquired a kinyan, which means that somebody who was an acquisition of the kohen that acquired his own acquisition can eat based on the koach of the husband who is a kohen. Ke kinyano shekana kinyan, as the Gemara will explain. The Tanya we learned in a braita. First of all, minayin lekohen shenasa isha v'kana avadim sheyochlu bitruma. How do we know the basic halacha that a kohen who married a woman who is a bat Israel, or that he acquired slaves, that they eat truma even though they are not kohanim? Sheneemar, because it says in Parashat Emor, this week's Parashat Hashavua, v'kohen ki ikne nefesh kinyan kaspo hu yochal bo. A kohen who acquires anyone, the acquisition themselves, such as the one who he marries, or the avadim who he bought for himself, they can eat truma by his power. Now, the Braita goes forward and says, uminayin le'isha shekanta avadim. Let's say, how do we know the wife who was acquired already by the Kohen as a wife? She went ahead and she acquired avadim from her nichse melug, right? Because they are her servants. The avadav shekanu avadim. Or let's say the servants of the Kohen who acquired servants, right? Sheyochlu bitruma. How do we know that they also, the kinyan of the kinyan, can eat teruma? Sheneemar, from the very same pasuk where it says vechohen ki yikne nefesh kinyan kaspo hu yochal bo. It says two times the word kinyan. It already said vechohen ki yikne nefesh. The pasuk should have just continued hu yochal bo. Why did it add kinyan kaspo? It comes to teach me kinyano shekana kinyan ochel, that someone who is already a kinyan of the Kohen, if he acquired a kinyan, he is able to eat truma as well. So the same thing over here. Why do you say in the case of the Avdei Milog of the Almana Kohen Gadol, they cannot eat Tumah because she cannot eat Tumah? Yeah, but these Avdei Milog are the Kinyan of the Kinyan of the Kohen. So based on his Koach alone, they should be able to eat Tumah. Answers the Gemara, it's very simple. There is a principle, Kol ha'ochel ma'achil, kol she'en ochel eno ma'achil. Anyone who is eligible to eat Truma on his own is able to give the power, to transfer the power of eating Truma to his Kinyan as well. But kol she'en ochel, someone who on his own is not able to eat Truma, eno ma'achil, his Kinyan cannot eat. So being that the woman in this case is not able to eat Truma because she became a chalala, so too her avadim, it's true that her avadim are the Kinyan of the Kohen, but they're her Kinyan, right? And so somewhere through that line, the ability to eat Tumah is going to go through her. It cannot go through her because she's not able to eat Tumah. Therefore, they, the Avadim, cannot eat Tumah. Asks the Gemara, is that true? Velo. Is it, and anyone who is not able to eat Tumah, so no one could eat Tumah based on his power? Let's say the Kohen is Arel, the Kohen is uncircumcised. For good reason, let's say he was patur from becoming circumcised, right? He's a Arel. Or the Kohen who is Tameh. So now in both cases, if the Kohen is Arel or if the Kohen is Tameh, he's not able to eat Tumah, right? Uma'achilim. And yet, their wives or their avadim at that time could eat Tumah. So we see that even though he's in a state where he's not able to eat Tumah, yet his kinyan is able to eat Tumah. So how do you tell me, kol she'en ochel, eno ma'achil? Answers the Gemara over there by the case of Arel and Teme'im, it's not called eno ochel. Really, the person himself is eligible to eat Tumah. It's just hatam pumayu ka'iv lehu. Literally translated, it means their mouth is the issue, has the pain, which means there is a side issue with the Kohen why he's not able to eat Tumah, either because right now he's Tameh or because right now he's a Arel. It's not because inherently he's disqualified from eating the Tumah, whereas by the Almana LeKohen Gadol, the Almana becomes a Chalala. And by she is disqualified inherently from eating Tumah. Therefore, she cannot be ma'achil to give over the power to her avadim to eat Tumah. Whereas a Kohen who is eligible for Tumah, it's just that for the time being, he's a Tameh or he's a Arel. That's not something that's inherently wrong with the Kohen. So even though right now he cannot eat Tumah, but those who are under his jurisdiction can indeed eat Tumah. So therefore, there's no question from the case of Arel and Temeim. But the Gemara continues to ask, Vahare mamzer she'en ochel uma'achil. We have the case of a mamzer, as we're going to learn later on in our perek. We have the case of a mamzer who he himself is not able to eat Tumah, obviously, but from his power, his grandmother, who married once a Kohen, is able to continue eating Tumah. The halacha is that a Bat Yisrael who married a Kohen, as long as she has a descendant that comes from that union of hers with the Kohen, as long as there is a child or a grandchild that is alive from that union, she is able to continue eating Tumah. So let's say what happened was, let's say a Bat Yisrael married a Kohen, right? And they had a daughter. And that daughter went ahead and married a mamzer. And they had a child. And that child is also a mamzer, right? She is able to continue. The grandmother is able to continue eating Tumah even after her husband, the Kohen, died and her daughter died. And the only one that's alive is her grandchild, who is a mamzer. She is allowed to continue eating Tumah, as we learn from the pasuk later on Daf Ayin Amud Bet, we're going to see. It says from the pasuk, Vezera enla. But if she has Zera, if she has any descendant that came from the union with her husband, the Kohen, she's allowed to continue eating Tumah. So here we see that you have the mamzer, the grandchild, who he himself is not able to eat Tumah, and yet because of his power, by his power, she, the grandmother, is still able to continue eating Tumah. So what do you mean? How did you say before, kol she'en ochel eno ma'achil? The mamzer is en ochel, and yet he is ma'achil. Amar Ravina, Ravina says, That statement that we said before, kol ha'ochel ma'achil, kol she'eno ochel eino ma'achil, kinyan ochel ka'amar, the acquisition of the one who is able to eat truma, is talking about. Kinyan ochel ma'achil, the acquisition of one who is able to eat truma, can give over the power to eat truma. She'eno ochel, but a kinyan of the kohen that is not able to eat truma, such as the almana le kohen gadol, the almana who is a kinyan to the kohen, but she's not able to eat truma because she became a chalala, eno ma'achil. So therefore, her avadim cannot eat truma either. So this rule only applies to acquisitions, to those who are acquired by the kohen. They can only give over the power to eat truma if they themselves are able to eat truma. So therefore, there's no question from the case of Mamzer that has nothing to do with kinyan. That's a straight out descendant. That has nothing to do with kinyan. By kinyanim, we say, ochel ma'achil, she'eno ochel, eno ma'achil. Rava has a different answer. Rava Amar, mi deoraita mechal achli. The truth of the matter is that the avdei melog of the chalala, meaning the almana who married the kohen, mi deoraita, they could in fact eat. You're right, that's true. Verabanan hu de gazri behu. The Mishnah is saying that there is a gezera from chachamim that they're not allowed to partake from truma. Why? Kedeshe tomar, so that the woman who unlawfully married the kohen, in order that she should say, ani eni ochelet, avadai enam ochlim, zonahi etzlo. She's going to say to herself, one second, I'm not able to eat truma. And even my avadim, my avdei melog, are not able to eat truma. Oh, so it's going to hit her. It's like I'm a zonah, meaning I'm not supposed to be married to this kohen. Hilkach ati le'apuka, and her husband is going to come to divorce her, which is what we want. Chazal wanted to make a way where they're going to separate because they're not allowed to be together, the almana le'kohen gadol, or the grusha v'chalutza le'kohen ediot. So therefore, Chachamim made a gzera that not only she's not able to eat truma, but her avdei melog also cannot eat truma. That will be a wake, that will serve as a wake-up call to them. Wow, that means that we're really not allowed to be together, and they will ultimately separate, which is the desired outcome. Rav Ashe says a different reason for the isur. Gezera shema ta'achil le'achar mita. It's a gzera, if we allow the avdei melog to eat truma, maybe she's going to continue giving them to eat truma even after the mita, even after the death of her husband, the kohen gadol. Now, they are only allowed to eat as long as they are the kinyan of the kinyan when he's still alive. So the avadim are the kinyan of the almana, who is the kinyan of the kohen, who is still alive. So mideoraita, they can eat. Came along Chachamim and said, no, they cannot eat. You know why? Because maybe they'll continue to eat even after the kohen gadol passes away. And once he dies, they are no longer his acquisition, and they are no longer, therefore, allowed to eat truma. In order to avoid such a situation, Chachamim said, from the beginning, the avdei melog cannot eat from the truma. However, the Gemara immediately asks on this svara, on this reasoning of Ravashi, Ela Me'ata, if that's the case, that the chashash, that the concern of the Chachamim is that maybe the avadim will continue to eating truma even after the husband dies, well, say the same thing. Bat Yisrael sheniset lekohen, also lo tachil. A regular case of a Bat Yisrael that married a kohen, she should also not have the power to give to her avadim, the avdei melog, to eat. Why? Gezera shema ta'achil achar mita. We should also be concerned in this case that maybe they'll continue to eat even after the kohen, the husband, dies. Ela amar Ravashi. Therefore, Ravashi says that the gezera is dafka dealing with be'almana kohenet, with the almana who is actually a daughter of a kohen who went ahead and married a kohen gadol. So now, de'atia le'oruye, she is likely to rationalize on her own and to say that, wait a second, they could for sure eat truma even after the death of my husband, the kohen gadol. Because she'll think like this, me'ikara achli bitruma de'beinasha. From the beginning, initially, before I got married, my slaves were able to eat truma because of my father's house, right? She's a bat kohen. In sevi le'hai, I then married this man, the Kohen Gadol, in Sevile Lehai, Achli Bitruma de Gavrai, and they ate Truma of my husband. Vehashta, Hadrili Lemilta Kamaita. And now that my husband died, now I'm returning to my original circumstance. And therefore, they are allowed once again to eat Tumah by the power of my father's house. Ve'lo yada, but she's forgetting something she might forget. De'mi'ikara lo shavitah le'navsha chalala. In the beginning, she was not a disqualified person. She was not a chalala. She was not psula lekehuna. Hashta shavita le'navsha chalala. But now, after marrying a kohen gadol as a almana, which was unlawful, this was not allowed, she made herself a chalala. And therefore, even now, after the husband dies, they cannot eat truma by her power because she is a chalala. She's not able to eat truma. So in order to avoid such a mistake, Chachamim made a gezera specifically by the case of almana kohenet. By almana kohenet, where she can make this rational mistake, that's why they said the avdei milog are not allowed to eat truma even from the beginning, even when she already, when the husband is still alive after she married the kohen gadol. So the Gemara asks, tinach almana kohenet. This works out well as an explanation of the Mishnah regarding almana kohenet. But what about almana bat Israel? Mai ikale mima? So why is it that the Mishnah is saying that any almana who married a kohen gadol, the avdei milog cannot eat truma? But now, according to Rav Ashi, you just explained to me what the concern is. That works only by an almana who herself is a kohenet. But what about almana bat Israel? What would you say in that regard? Why is she not allowed? Why are her avadim not allowed to eat the truma? Answers the Gemara: Be'almenuta lo pligi rabanan. When it comes to almanot, the Chachamim did not want to make a chiluk. They didn't want to distinguish between one type of almana and another. Once they made a gezera on one type of almana, which is almana kohenet, they applied the halacha to all almanot, which means lo plug. They didn't make a difference. Itmar, it has been taught, hamachneset shum leba'ala. Regarding a case of a woman who brings into the marriage shum. Now, shum doesn't mean garlic here. Shum means appraised property into the ketubah, into the marriage, which means she brings in nichsei tzon barzel. As we said before, tzon barzel are the properties that she brings in to the marriage, which goes under the jurisdiction, the ownership of the husband. But in the event where there is divorce and he has to give her the ketubah, he gives her back all the nichsei tzon barzel that she brought, in the same value as they were in the beginning of the marriage. So she never loses. It's called nichsei tzon barzel. It's a guaranteed investment, right? So now let's say machneset shum. That means that when they got married, all her properties that she brought in as tzon barzel were appraised. They were evaluated, and the value was written down, was documented in the ketubah. Let's say, for example, all her kelim were evaluated as $1,000, for example. And they put down $1,000 worth of kelim the kala is bringing into this marriage as nichset son barzel. All right? So that's called hamachneset shum lebaala. And then what happened? Years later, divorce occurs. And now she comes and she wants to collect her ketubah. He omeret kelai aninotelet, vehu omer damim aninoten. Now the argument is, she, by the time of the divorce, she comes and she wants to collect her ketubah, she's saying, kelai ani notelet. I want to take back my kelim, my belongings, my vessels. Which means she wants to get it back as is. I brought in, let's say, a refrigerator, a dishwasher, a washing machine. I want to take back the items as they are. That's what she's saying, kelai ani notelet. Vehu omer damim ani noten. And he's arguing and he's saying, I'm willing to give you their monetary value. I don't want to give you back the items themselves, but being that they were evaluated as $1,000, I'll give you $1,000. Hadin imi. Who is the halakha like? Who is the halakha going to favor here? So we have here a machloket. Rav Yehuda amar hadin imah. Rav Yehuda says the halakha favors her. She may take back her belongings. The Rav Ami amar hadin imo. Rav Ami says no, the halacha favors him. He can hold on to the items and he just returns their value. And the Gemara explains. Rav Yehuda amar hadin ima. Rav Yehuda says that the halacha favors her. Mishum shevach bet avi hadida havi. Because this is the shevach, this is the pride, the prestige of the house of her father, which means these items came from her father's house. And if you're not going to give her back these items, so the prestige, the honor of her father's house will suffer. They want these particular items. So shevach betavi adidahavi, it is the honor of the house of her father, these particular kelim, and therefore you have to give them back as is. Rabbi Ami amar adin imo, Rabbi Ami says, no, the halacha is with the husband. Kevan de amar mar, because since the halacha states, imetu metu lo, vimotiru otiru lo, regarding the status of nichse tzon barzel, what did the Mishnah say? That if, let's say, they die, if the nechasim die, so their death is the loss of the husband. Or if, let's say, they increase in value, hotiru, then their increase in value is his gain. Ho'il v'chayav be'acharayutan yochelu, because he bears the financial responsibility for their loss. That's why they are allowed, the avadim of nechse tzon barzel are allowed to eat truma. So it comes out that the property really belongs to the husband, and therefore he only needs to return their monetary value, because we see that basically it becomes his official property. The loss is his loss, the gain is his gain, and therefore, and the avadim eat by his power, so that shows that it totally belongs to him. So he doesn't have to give it back to her, he gives her only the monetary value as was promised in the ketubah. But Rav Safa comes along and he argues with this explanation of Rabbi Ami in the Shita of in this that he says Hadinimo. Why? Because Amar Rav Safa Mikatani vehen shelo. After all, does it say in the Mishnah that they are his? It doesn't say they are his, the Nichse Tzon Barzel. It states Hoil vechayav beachrayutan katani. It only says that he bears the financial responsibility for their loss. Ule olam lavdi deininu. But really, it does not actually belong to him. He just has the responsibility to make sure that it stays, you know, intact and to bear all the loss or even the gain. But that doesn't mean that it's actually his. And therefore, that's not a good enough reason to say that he is allowed to keep the belongings and only give the value. But the Gemara asks, V'kolhecha dechayav v'achayutan achli bituma. Is that true that any time you're only responsible for their loss, chayav v'chayutan, that's enough for them to be able to eat truma under his power, even though they're not his actual possession? Vehatenan, did we not learn in a Mishnah in Masechet Trumot, Israel shesachar para mikohen, a Yisrael who rented a cow from a kohen, hare ze ya'achilen akar shine truma, he's able to feed the animal from karshinim. Karshinim is type of beans, cheap type of beans, of truma. Why? Because since the animal still belongs to the kohen, so therefore, although the Israel rented the para, he rented the cow, still he can give it truma because it's under the ownership of the kohen. Kohen shesachar para miYisrael. The other way around, the Mishnah says, if let's say a kohen rented a cow from the Israel, afal pi shemezonoteha alav, even though the responsibility of feeding the animal is on the kohen who rented it, lo yachilena karshine truma. He's not able to give it truma to eat because it doesn't really belong to him. What do we see from here? That the requirement that we need in order to enable the kinyan to eat truma is actual possession, not responsibility. In order for something to eat truma because of your power, it has to be that the kohen owns it mamash. It's not enough that he's just responsible for it. So the question is, how could it be that just ho'il v'chayav b'achayutan in our Mishnah, that's enough for the avdei tzon barzel to be able to eat truma, even though it doesn't belong to him? But we see from this Mishnah in Tumot that responsibility alone without ownership is not enough to be able to feed Tuma by his power. So therefore, the proof of Rabbi Ami is actually restored, because the fact that the Mishnah says that the Avdet Son Barzel eat from the Tuma, that shows that they actually belong to him. And therefore, this is proof to the words of Rabbi Ami, who says, Hadin Imo, that he, since they actually belong to him, he can hold on to the belongings themselves, and he only has to return their monetary value. And the Gemara further continues to ask, Vetizbera, and this comparison that you're making does it make sense to say? Which means, can you compare the case of the one who rents the cow to the case of our Mishnah of Nichse Tzon Barzel? They're not the same. I understand that the renter, the one who rents the cow, is indeed liable for theft and loss. Let's say it would be stolen, or if it would go lost, so he would be liable to pay for it, right? That much he would be chayav, the one who rented. But be'onaseha, but let's say unavoidable accidents, or be'kahasha, or let's say the cow became weaker for any reason under his time that he rented it, the cow. Ubenifchat dameha, or let's say it decreased in value. Mimichyav, would the renter be chayav be'achayuta? Would he be liable to make up for those type of losses? I understand that he's liable for gneva and for aveda, but is he liable to make up for the loss of, let's say, onasim, unavoidable accidents, or if it decreased in value? No. Which is not the case in our Mishnah by the Avdeh Tzon Barzel of the Kohen. So he is chayav in all achayutan. He's chayav in all kinds of the financial losses. So that shows that in our Mishnah, he actually has an ownership on the animal. You can't compare it to the Mishnah in Tumot regarding a person who rented, who's not liable, who's not responsible for all cases of a loss. So therefore, in that case, yes, he doesn't own it. That's why he cannot feed it Tumah. But in our Mishnah, it's different. In fact, if you want to compare the Kohen in our Mishnah regarding the Avdei Tzon Barzel who are able to eat Truma because he's Chayav B'Chayutan, if you want to compare it to a case in Trumot, it's comparable to the Seifa of that Mishnah, to the continuation of that Mishnah in Trumot. What does it say there? Yisrael Shesham, not Sam, Yisrael Shesham Para Mikohen. In the case when the Yisrael who rented out the cow from the Kohen, but he was also Sham, he appraised the value of the cow upon renting it, which means that they made an arrangement where the one who is renting it, the Yisrael who is renting it, is guaranteeing to return the value as is to the owner. In that case, the Mishnah says there, Lo yachilena karshine truma. Now he cannot feed truma to the animal because the Yisrael who rented it out actually has a serious ownership on this animal, because now he's mamash chayav in ol achayut. Even if it decreases in value, he's going to have to make up for it. So the animal mamash becomes under his ownership. That's why the Yisrael cannot feed it truma. Aval kohen shesham para Yisrael. The other way around, if the kohen was renting it and he rented it with an appraisal guaranteeing the return of its value, Yachilena karshine truma, is able to feed it truma because it's considered the para now of the kohen. That, to this case, you can compare our Mishnah of Avdei Tzon Barzel, that the kohen is chayav v'achayutan totally, and that's why they are able to eat truma. And therefore, it's what Rabbi Ami said is correct when Rabbi Ami said, Hadin imo, that he's able to keep the belongings to himself because they really become his. And in the case of when he has to pay the ketubah, he can just pay their monetary value. So now we have to figure out what is the halakha between this machloket of Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Ami. Is Hadin imo or Hadin ima? Yativ Rabba v'Rav Yosef b'shilhe pirke de Rav Nachman. Rabbi and Rav Yosef were sitting at the end of the shiur of Rav Nachman, and they were discussing more divrei halacha at the end of the shiur of Rav Nachman. Ve'yatvi v'kamri, and they were sitting and saying the following: Tanya kevate de Rav Yehuda, ve'tanya kevate de Rabbi Ami. We have a braita that supports the opinion of Rav Yehuda, who said hadin ima, that she is correct. And there is a braita that supports Rabbi Ami, that said hadin imo, that he is correct. Tanya kevate de Rabbi Ami, a braita that says like Rabbi Ami, avdei tzon barzel yotzim beshen ve'ain, la'ish avalo la'isha. We know that the halacha normally is that if the owner of a slave strikes, he hits his slave, and he knocks out his shen, his tooth, or let's say he blinds him in an eye, that's v'ayin. So the halacha is that the eved is set free. He's yotzel acherut b'shen v'ayin. So now let's say Avde Tzon Barzel, the slaves of the Tzon Barzel, right? So now, what is the halacha if they are, do they go out b'shen ve'ayin? Yes, yotzim b'shen ve'ayin, but only la'ish, only if it was caused by the husband, not if it was caused by the wife. Oh, what do we see from here? That the avadim actually belong to the husband. And therefore, by him striking them, they are yotzei lechirut. By her striking them, they are not yotzei lechirut because she is not really the owner anymore of these avadim. So that's like Rabbi Ami, who holds hadin imo, that the belongings actually now belong, of Tzon Barzel, actually belong to the husband. And all he has to give by the ketubah is their monetary value. That's one braita. But we have another braita, Tanya, kevateh de Rav Yehuda. There's a braita that supports the view of Rav Yehuda. It states as follows, Hamachneset shum lebaala. If let's say a woman brings Tzon Barzel into the marriage, and it's shum, meaning it's appraised, so it's evaluated in the beginning of the marriage, how much it is, and it's Tzon Barzel. Im ratza ha-ba'al imkor, lo imkor. If the husband wishes to sell any of the property, he's not allowed to sell it because it belongs to her. Not only that, even if the husband brought property into the marriage and he added it into her dowry, into her nidunya, as shum, as an appraised, guaranteed gift of his own. If he wants to sell from that property, he cannot sell. So you see already, although we'll finish the baita, but we already see from this baita that the nichset tzon barzel do not belong to the husband. They still belong to her, and therefore she would be able to demand the belongings themselves to be returned to her. The baita continues and says, machru shenehem leparnasa. Let's say either one of them sold from this property unlawfully, right? We just said they're not allowed to sell, but let's say because of parnasa, they sold something. A case such as this came before Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, and he said, "Habaal motzi miyad alekuchot." The sale is void to the point that the husband can actually repossess the property from the people who purchased from the lekuchot. So we see a braita like Rav Yehuda, and we see a braita like Rabbi Ami. So bottom line, what is the halacha? Amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman. Rava says in the name of Rav Nachman, halacha ke Rav Yehuda. The halacha is like Rav Yehuda, that hadin imah. The halacha is with her. Amar le Rava le Rav Nachman. Rava indeed, when he heard this from Rav Nachman, he asked Rav Nachman, vehatanya kevated de Rabbi Ami. But what do you do? We have a braita that supports Rabbi Ami also. How could you just say halacha ke Rav Yehuda? So he answered him, afal gav de tanya kevated de Rabbi Ami, even though we have a braita that supports Rabbi Ami, mistabra ta'ama de Rav Yehuda. But the svara, the reasoning of Rav Yehuda, is much more reasonable, and therefore the halacha is like him. And what was the reason of Rav Yehuda? Mishum shevach betavia, because of the kavod of the house of her father. You cannot totally remove these belongings from the house of her father. That would hurt their family, and therefore it's much more reasonable that if she wants those items to be returned as is, that she is that the husband has to give it to her. The Gemara tells us an incident. Hahi iteta, there was a certain woman, da'ayla lele gavra, that she brought into her marriage with her husband, itztela de melata, biktubata. She brought into her marriage, as part of the property, a robe, itztela is a robe, de melata, of melat, of fine wool, in her ketubah, and it was put into the guaranteed property of her ketubah. Shachiv, her husband subsequently died. Shakluha yatme, so the orphans, the yetomim, they took the robe. Uparsuha ametana, and they spread it over the dead body of the father as a shroud. And the woman wanted that robe to be returned to her. She wanted it back there. She brought it in from the house of her father. But they already spread it over the dead body. So now what? Amar Rava, Rava says, Kanya mitana, the dead acquired it. In other words, once it became tashmishe hamet, something that was used for the dead body, it becomes asur behana'a. One is not allowed to benefit from something that is tashmishe hamet, And therefore, now in this case, it's an exception, and it was acquired, so to speak, by the met, and it does not have to be returned to the wife. Amar le nanai, bere de Rav Yosef, bere de Rava, le Rav Kahana. Nanai, who was the son of Rav Yosef, who was the son of Rava, so the grandson of Rava, asked Rav Kahana about this psak. But one second, didn't my grandfather Rava say in the name of Rav Nachman that the halacha is like Rav Yehuda, which means hadin ima, that if she demands her belongings back, she gets her belongings back. What is this over here? That because they put it over the dead body, that's it, the dead acquired it. Amar le, so Rav Kahana answered him, mi la mode Rav Yehuda de mechusar govaina? Doesn't Rav Yehuda agree in a case where it's mechusar govaina, where it has not yet been collected? Which means, of course, she, in a regular case, she has the right to demand collection of the item itself, right? But before she actually collects it, it's still in the possession of the husband and still in the possession of the inheritors of the husband. And if the inheritors, the Yetomim in this case, did something with the item before it was collected, that's it. It renders it as already becoming a burial shroud. In other words, in this case, the Yetomim used it as a burial shroud to bury their father with before the collection happened. Once they did so, before any collection happened, that's it. It was still in his possession when they did it. And that takes away the ability or the right of the wife to collect it now. It's too late. That's what it means. Mila mode Rav Yehuda de mechusar govaina. Does Rav Yehuda not agree in this case where the robe wasn't collected yet? Vekevan mechusar govaina. And since it wasn't collected, birshute kai, it was still in his possessions. And therefore his inheritors, they can use it as a burial shroud, and once they used it as a burial shroud, it makes it asu now. It takes away the she'ibud, it takes off the ownership of the wife from it. As we know, Rava leta'ame, Rava here is going according to his reasoning elsewhere in Shas. We heard this statement, the Amar Rava, Rava says, Hekdesh, chametz, v'shichru, mafki mide she'ibud. Let's say someone has a she'ibud, he has a lien on something. But that item, let's say, was made into Hekdesh. It was consecrated as property of Hekdesh, of the Beit HaMikdash. Or let's say it became Chametz. Or let's say Shichru. Or let's say the slave was released from the property. In that case, these three things have the power to be Mafkia, to remove the she'ibud, to cause the she'ibud, the lien on that item, to be expired. So here also, in the case of the robe as well, although the woman has a she'ibud on it, which means that she has a lien, which gives her the right to eventually collect it, but before it was collected, it was placed over the dead body. So in other words, it was mukdash. It's like hekdesh. Anything that is used as tashmishei amet is mukdash for the met. It is consecrated for the dead, and no longer can you derive benefit from it. And hekdesh has the power to release the lien, the shibud, that the woman had over it. And that's why, once it was used in such a way, even according to Rav Yehuda, the wife would not be able to collect the robe back.